Okay, so my lovely printer, one of the colored inks are out, and so it wouldn't let me print at all. So if I'm playing with this, it's because I'm trying to find the quotes that I wanted to bring in with this, but I already wrote a ton of stuff by hand, see? Lovely. So anyways, I'm hoping we'll get to this song I want to play for you at the end of our meeting, and it's 5 minutes long, so I figure about 10 after is when I'll probably pause for a minute and play this beautiful song that is probably one of my favorites. The lesson today is on The Race of Life by President Monson. And this is one of those lessons that you just kind of go, oh, this was for me today. So sorry, ladies. This one was definitely for me. So if it's a little tailored, then you know why. He says that everywhere people are in a hurry. Jet-powered aircraft speed their precious human cargo across broad continents and vast oceans so that business meetings might be attended, obligations met, vacations enjoyed, or families visited. Roadways everywhere, including freeways, thoroughways, and motorways, carry millions of automobiles occupied by more millions of people in this seemingly endless stream, and for a multitude of reasons as we rush about the business of each day. In this fast-paced life, do we ever pause for moments of meditation, even thoughts of timeless truths? When compared to eternal verities, most of the questions and concerns of daily living are really rather trivial. He says things like, what should we have for dinner? What color should we paint in the living room? Should I sign my kid up for soccer? These questions and countless others like them lose their significance when times of crisis arise, when loved ones are hurt or injured, when sickness enters the house of good health, when life's candle dims and darkness threatens. Our thoughts become focused and we are easily able to determine what is really important and what is merely trivial. I want to pause for a minute here, and I know many of you ladies have been touched by death, sickness, maybe injuries in your families. And have you noticed at those times that there is kind of a pause, that you just kind of stop and you go, wow, this is what's really, really important to me? I know when my husband had his accident and very nearly could have been killed, for a good month or two afterwards, he was laid up on the couch because he couldn't move because both of his feet were in casts, and I would just sit on the floor by the couch and just hold his hand, and we would just talk, and that was, to me, one of the most precious things, because we realized just how important, we were to each other, and we are to each other. And sometimes life goes on, not sometimes, life goes on, and you forget how precious those moments are, and how quickly life can be extinguished, and how quickly you realize how much time you spent on things that just didn't matter. I wanted to share this. Two of the talks I'm using to go along with this today are both by Elder Uchtdorf, which I think he's just a master at getting to the point so beautifully. He says that, and this was in April 2009 conference, he says, the tendency to focus on the insignificant at the expense of the profound happens not only to pilots, but to everyone. We are all at risk. The driver who focuses on the road has a far greater chance of arriving at his destination accident-free than the driver who focuses on sending text messages on his phone. That was not meant for young girls in here, but I'm just going to point that out. Yes, that's true. We know what matters most in life. The light of Christ teaches this to everyone. We as faithful Latter-day Saints have the Holy Ghost as a constant companion to teach us the things of eternal value. I imagine that any priesthood holder, this was in priesthood conference, he says, listening to my voice today is asked to prepare a talk on the subject, what matters most, could and would do an excellent job, which I think we all could the same too. And this is the point that stuck out at me. He says, our weakness is in the failing to align our actions with our conscience. And that struck me because I felt like, you know, I do have that desire. I do have the want and to put first things first and to make the most important things first in my life. But sometimes those distractions and my own personal weakness keeps me from attaining that and moving forward with that. He says, pause for a moment and check where your own heart and thoughts are. Are you focused on the things that matter most? How you spend your quiet time may provide a valuable clue. Where do your thoughts go when the pressure of deadline is gone? Are your thoughts and heart focused on those short-lived, fleeting things that matter only in the moment, or the things that matter most? And what are some things that you found maybe in your life or in your family or even that you've observed in others that is a distraction, that can become a distraction?
Computer games.
Amen. Yes. What else?
Television.
Yes. Yes, that's a big one. That's become how I unwind at night sometimes. You know, after my long drive and my long day at work, I come home and it's kind of like, and I sometimes just don't want to do anything else. And I'm thinking, I'm getting really lazy. I need to change that. But it's a distraction for me. Anything else you guys can think of? There's a lot of them. Yes.
Sports.
Playing them or watching or.
Okay. All the time.
Yeah. Soccer mom, right? You're constantly that, and then the kids watch it, and the husbands watch it. Maybe the kids don't. But
the thing is, I mean, sports per se isn't a bad thing. I think there are lots of good things, too, that we muck our lives up with. That, you know, you would look at them and you would say, well, but that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's being able to have perspective and control of how much time you're spending, even on good things. You know, if it's a really good thing and it's still preventing you from coming unto Christ, then it's not a good thing, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the things that, let's see, he talks about, it must be in the other one, he talks about a gentleman who does family history work and does a blog for his family and stuff, and he talks about how distracting that can be and how much time that takes away from actually spending time with his children or with his grandchildren, and how easily something good and righteous that we are asked to do can become too much. You think of anything else besides that could become too much that is? Yes.
Work. I've got a brother. That's all he does.
I never understood that when I first started working because I was like, I hate working. This is awful. And then as my mind started clicking and I realized I'm going to be doing this for a while, I realized that I enjoyed work and I got really scared. So I was like, oh, I can't enjoy it too much. It's too easy to stay later. It's too easy to finish this last project. So it's easy to make that switch. Yes. Did you have something?
I was just thinking, I like to read a lot of books, and after we put Presley down for the night, that's kind of what I do, and Matt does the same. We don't really get TV, but then I find that I read until I'm exhausted, and then I haven't read my scriptures, and I hurry and, like, read them and don't really know what I'm reading just because I spent so much time on another book, and it's kind of, my priorities need to change. Switch your reading first.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem I have, too. Yes.
Sometimes Ellen. We don't serve or we don't do what we're supposed to because we just don't feel good enough. Maybe that's because of lack of exercise or we let ourselves go, or maybe it's a disease like cancer or something like that. But sometimes illness can distract you from doing the things that you know you should be doing.
Yeah, and sometimes when it's a serious illness, that's probably maybe the most you can do is smile at someone or say something kind to someone or whatever it is that you can do, because there's always something you can do. Is there another hand over here? Yes.
This is sort of going to, maybe you won't like what I'm saying. After my husband died, we moved to Idaho from Salt Lake, and before he died, I was quite busy working with the Relief Society and gave me things to do aside from taking care of him and the kids. And I learned how to do cake decorating during that time. And we were selling things for the Relief Society. And then I had my customers. And then I took it with me. But then I ended up getting there, and they called me to the job that I wouldn't take in Salt Lake, which was to be in charge of the workday on Tuesday. That's a pretty big job. And then they asked me to be over. It was a new job. The stake singles. I'm over all of these older and younger people. I'm 29 years old. And then I do the cake. We did gingerbread houses at Christmas time. And then suddenly, oh, well, we need to teach, so I'm teaching. And then we're doing a project every month. And if they don't get it done, they come to my house to finish. We did some wonderful things. And then I ended up, somebody calling me, oh, are you a secretary? Would you come to work for us? And then so I'm teaching during the evening, the day, I'm working, I'm doing all these different things, and my body quit on me. And I know now that part of that was what I didn't know I had, which was chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. But you can push yourself. And then they asked me to be the Cub Scout leader. And I looked at the second council and I said, do you know what callings I have? And the fact that, you know, he just had this most embarrassed look on his face. Oh, no, okay, it's okay. So we have to take our church things, our family, everything, our work, everything, and do it in a moderation so that our bodies can handle it.
It just reminds me of the scripture, do not run faster than you have strength.
That's right. And that's serious.
And that's totally true. Like, so we can fill our day with good and righteous things, but maybe it's too taxing on us.
If you do it over and over and over, there's no hours left for you.
Yeah, you need to have time to unwind. You need to have time to do the things that you enjoy doing, whether it's cooking or reading or something that we should never feel guilty for taking that time. It's a matter of making sure we're not taking excess time to where is that time going into time we spend with our children or with our spouse or... Is it taking away from time that we should be spending on our calling? Things like that. So one thing he talked about, he said, I recently visited with a woman who had been battling a life-threatening disease for over 2 years. She indicated that prior to her illness, her days were filled with activities such as cleaning her house to perfection and filling it with beautiful furnishings. She visited her hairdresser twice a week and spent money and time each month adding to her wardrobe. Her grandchildren were invited to visit infrequently, for she was always concerned that what she considered her precious possessions might be broken or otherwise ruined by tiny and careless hands. And then she received the shocking news that her mortal life was in jeopardy, and that she might have very limited time left here. She said that that the moment that she heard the doctor's diagnosis, she knew immediately that she would spend whatever time she had remaining with her family and friends and with the gospel at the center of her life, for these represented what was most precious to her. And that reminds me of, I'm not sure if it was the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis or not, I can't remember exactly, but talks about there's the two devils that are talking, and the one says, oh, but he's a really righteous man. And he says, well, you just need to distract him, you know, get him off what he's doing. And I think that is a huge thing that the adversary uses in our lives as women who are trying to live righteously, is he distracts us. And there's so many things to be distracted by and with nowadays. Computer, TV, hobbies, the internet, you know, whatever it is, it's so easy to be distracted and lose our focus. And in the same end, you know, at least this woman had a moment of realization that, oh, this is what's most precious to me. But how many of us may not have that moment and that ability to have that time to say, I wish I had done this more often. And they say that people after they die will never say, I wish I had just got that RV. Dang it. I would have just loved to do that. Or I wish that I would have spent more time on the internet. There was just so many things to learn. No, what are they going to say? I wish I'd spent more time with my family and getting to know them. Yes.
Well, our son has quite a few children, and this year they decided that come winter they were not going to participate in any of the extracurricular sports, and they were going to have family basketball every week.
Oh, wow.
And so they've actually started, and he says, we just don't see each other enough, so we're going to try that this year. And he says, look, now that the soccer season's over, he actually has enough to make two teams, so that's okay. But but I just had him go last week because he's now broken his foot, so he has to coach from the sidelines. So he says, this week we spent time learning to dribble. And so he's just looking as if they're a team, and I thought, I had never thought of that, but they're going to do family basketball through the winter.
And it's not with the intent to make sure his kids make the basketball team next year. No. It is strictly with the intent to spend time together and make it fun, because otherwise, if you focus on the other, you'll destroy what fun that could be. But that's amazing. That's a really good idea.
I was impressed. I thought, wow.
Is that when you stand back at the mom and go, did I teach you that?
No, he came.
All right. Let's see. Such moments of clarity come to all of us at one time or another. Although not always through so dramatic a circumstance, we see clearly what it is that really matters in our lives